Let's see what Mr. Radioland's got.
Are you all ready?
Oh, God, no. Something else. Come on, what you got? What you got? What? No. Something else. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Oh, jeez, not this song again. Come on. Something, come on, what you got? What you got?
Hey now, what's this? Let's give this a listen.
Welcome to episode 13 of our Sounds Atlantic podcast. Though this podcast only began in October, I thought it might be enjoyable to listen to some selected highlights, particularly for those of you who may just have begun to listen. So over the course of the next couple of hours or so, we'll listen to interview some Newfoundland and Labrador's The Once, Prince Edward Island's Ashley Condon, Newfoundland and Labrador's Anita Best, Prince Edward Island's Lenny Gallant, Cape Breton, Nova Scotia's Jimmy Rankin, Newfoundland and Labrador's the late Ron Hines and Wayne Chalk from Buddy What's-His-Name and the Other Fellows, Cape Breton, Nova Scotia's the Barra McNeils, and finally, we'll have a chat with Prince Edward Island's traditional Acadian group who call themselves Vichten, and they are the sisters Pastel and Emmanuel Leblanc and Pascal Muse, and I'm hopeful that for you folks from New Brunswick, we'll soon be able to track down some artists from this beautiful part of Atlantic Canada who have recently released new albums. So we'll begin with a very popular young group from Newfoundland and Labrador. This was the very first podcast here, and this group is called The Once, and Geraldine Hollett will join me in conversation. Welcome to episode 1 of the Sounds Atlantic podcast. I'm your host, Ron Moores, and I'm inviting you to join me and the lovely Geraldine Hollett, who, along with partner Phil Churchill and great friend Andrew Dale, comprise this fantastic group who respectively hail from the Buron Peninsula, Corner Brook, and Coley's Point on Conception Bay. And as I speak, Geraldine and Phil have now moved west to Corner Brook, while Andrew joins them from St. John's as he needs to. Geraldine will join me in just a few minutes from her home in Corner Brook, so don't go anywhere, folks. I'll be back with all of this and more in a fingersnap. And if you don't know The Once, they are a modern indie folk group from Newfoundland and Labrador, and as one author noted, 3 Folk Music Awards, numerous ECMAs, Artist of the Year, 2 Juno nominations for Best Roots and Traditional Album. This trio has now uncovered a sound that truly represents their inner artistry. Says Phil Churchill, "I think we finally know what The Once sounds like, and with that knowledge comes a freedom we would not let ourselves have before." Well, as one commentator noted, while Newfoundland music is often known for its raucousness, The Once come from the province's quieter and more intimate side, weaving their music around riveting vocal harmonies and tasteful acoustic accompaniment. Not only exceptional singers and musicians, the 3 members of The Once are thespians as well. Each has significant acting credits, having appeared in national plays, sketch comedies, and television shows. And from what was a pretty traditionally oriented and sounding trio, the group has embraced a distinctly modern sound by embracing drums and percussion, electric guitars and keyboards, and their material began as covers over the past decade, but it's morphed into original material composed by the trio. Lyrically, their work encompasses an arresting sense of loss, emphasized musically by Geraldine's bewitching delivery of beautifully haunting melodies. And now, as we're about to see, The Once has slowly transitioned from a brilliant trad cover group to an authentic original one that brings their own material to the grand stage that we call the music scene. And with this, we'll join Geraldine Hollett from her new home in Corner Brook, Newfoundland.
So you have a new album out. Tell us about Time Enough.
We kind of did an EP in the middle because we weren't quite ready for this album yet. And so we put that out 2 years ago.
Yeah, we talked about that 2 years ago.
Yeah, so this has been... Yeah, exactly. So it's been 4 years since we put out an actual album, a full-length album. Because we've discovered our brains are not necessarily slow, but slow. No, but they take as long as they do to make a line be exactly what it has to be. And we could let that go faster, but there's something in us that goes, no, it's not right. And so we started writing this album, I guess, 5 or 6 years ago now. Some of these songs started, the genesis was like while we're on tour, Passenger. And like, say, for instance, the very first song of the album, when I met some people on tour, some for some reason, and I bet it's to do with the fact that I'm the oldest of three sisters, some of the younger girls really gravitated towards me, you know, and I'm kind of older, so... I could tell that my role was big sister, or even, dare I say, motherly. But to them, I was, I could talk to them the way that people weren't talking to them at their age, and saying things to them like, oh my God, you're going to look back at yourself in 20 years and go, why did I hate myself so much? You know, you're just going to see yourself in a picture and be like, oh my God, I was beautiful. What was I thinking? Because I've done it. I had done all those things myself personally. And so the first song, I Can't Live Without You, is about some of the girls that I met who I still keep in touch with. And they were so inspirational to me in a lot of ways. And it was just a good way for me to look back at my own self. And wrote a song about looking at the person in the mirror. Because there was one girl in particular who was so hard on herself. And God love her. She's a beautiful young girl, kind. But she could not see her worth. For the life of her, she could not see it. And I recognized that so much because I felt that for so many years, just constant. And then one day I said, just look in the mirror and say something nice about yourself. Just start talking to yourself, you know. And and I did it in jest where I was like, look, just look in the mirror and, you know, just say something nice. And say it over and over and over until your brain starts rewiring itself. Because I was telling her about perception and it's only a matter of time before you change the way you think if you just change the way you think, you know, just doesn't take long. And then so I just wrote this song called I Can't Live Without You about look being cornering yourself in the mirror and saying, look, what you've been saying to me from my own head is wrong. You've been mean. You haven't been kind to me at all. And I know that you're excellent and that there's just something not quite right going on in here. So look, I love you and I can't live without you, so let's try and go forward knowing nothing, okay? Because we know nothing. I can say I'm worthless, but what do I know? I know nothing. So that's where that came from. So
well, let's take a listen to that, because, you know, I think when I listen to it and when I listen to you, I'm thinking, you know, you've done this gal a big favor, but you've done others a big favor in putting these lyrics to a song, and that's the beauty of a song. And I want to come back to explore some of that in a second, but we'll just take a second here to a couple of minutes, in fact. We'll listen to I Can't Live Without You. We'll come right back.
Looking at you, got you looking at me. Will you try and tear me down? Now I'm all you see. The light that hides behind your firing eyes. It's time to change course, babe. You're being cold, and it's getting old. Can't live without you. Let's bend all the rules so nobody will lose.
way to fall is to think you know it all. Let's know nothing and walk away. Know nothing and walk away. Know nothing and walk away. I can't live without you.
I Can't Live Without You. It's a Geraldine Hollett composition, and it comes from the Once's new album, Time Enough.
That was my interview with Geraldine Hollett, who is one third of the Once, the other two members being Phil Churchill and Andrew Dale. Now, next up is part of an interview I did with Prince Edward Island's Ashley Condon, and she was here to showcase her new album titled Can You Hear Me? Now, if you don't know Ashley Condon, she's a Canadian folk singer-songwriter from Montague, Prince Edward Island. She released her first full-length album and won New Artist of the Year at the 2012 PEI Music Awards. Well, while Ashley Condon was born in Pictou, Nova Scotia, her family moved to Prince Edward Island when she was just 6 months old. She was an only child and did have an older half-sister from her mother's previous marriage. Growing up in a family involved in the fishing industry. Now, Condon's father died when she was just six, leaving her mother and herself to take over the family business. Her mother became one of the first female fishing captains in eastern Prince Edward Island. Condon's mother died of cancer while she was just, Ashley was just studying drama at the University of Toronto, leaving Ashley to lose both of her parents by the time she was 22. Well, after completing her degree, Condon studied physiotherapy for 3 years. Psychotherapy, I should say. Now, with a bit of music in her DNA, she inherited from her grandfather, who apparently, for a time, hung around with Hank Snow. When they were kids, Ashley's first love was the stage. Having studied theater for a while and worked the stage over a period of years, she was drawn more and more to songwriting, and when the time came to perform, her stage background set her up easily before an audience. Raised between two potato fields in Prince Edward Island, she says she was the grandchild of Bill LeBlanc, a Canadian country pioneer who once spent the night in jail, thanks no. On her debut EP, I've Got This Feeling, as we heard from the title track we played earlier, she sings simple, poignant songs from her heart to the soul. Her vocals are powerful and her lyrics are thoughtful, a testament to the artist's strength as both a songwriter and entertainer. The success of her 2008 EP garnered the attention of Ontario native and ECMA-nominated producer Joel Hunt. He also produced an album for Teresa Ennis. The two joined creative forces for a highly anticipated release, Coming from the Cold. It features award-winning instrumentalist Dale Murray, who played several instruments on her album, including the pedal steel, and who has just produced her latest release, about which we will be talking in a few minutes. And more than 12 years of stage experience and a degree in theater studies from the Joint Theater Studies Program at the U of T and Sheridan College, they've honed Ashley's natural ability to take a piece of music and bring it alive. It's not uncommon for her to have a whole room full of people singing and laughing along with what she does. Hailing from the east coast of Canada, with its poignancy of Celtic and Acadian-rooted music, and having been raised on old-time country, bluegrass, folk, and blues, She finds a place for all of these sounds in her music. And last but not least, I should mention that over her relatively short career, she's won a number of awards, including a Canadian Folk Music Award for Emerging Artist and PEI Awards for New Artist, Boots Contemporary Recording, and Female Recording of the Year. Joining me now from her home in Montague, Prince Edward Island, is Ashley Condon.
Ashley Condon, it's been, I don't want to know how many years it's been, but quite a few years, so I'm just delighted you've got a new release.
Yeah, we're not counting how long it's been.
No, we're not. What we're going to count on is that we've got a whole lot of songs here that, you know, when I listen to the album, it strikes me that this material, these songs, are coming from a lady who has reached a point in her life, correct me if I'm wrong, where she's become rather reflective on where she's been and what she's done, what's important and what isn't.
I think you're very, very sensitive to that on this record. And, you know, I do feel like it's a culmination of many years of, well, of one, collaborating with many different artists, as you can see on the credits, lots of East Coast artists that I've been writing with. And there's definitely been sort of a sense of coming full circle, for sure. And the record itself comes full circle, which, I mean, I'm sure we'll get into down the road. But, you know, the opening track talks about living in the big city and wanting to come home, right down to the last track, which celebrates community and sitting around a campfire with your friends and playing music. So there's definitely a journey within the record, and my life has sort of brought me full circle to be back here on PEI and be settled in a little bit more, I guess, than I have been over the years, and just feeling a real sort of peace with the decisions that I've made to you know, to open up a business with my husband and all these things, which I'm sure we'll get into chatting about. But yeah, it's been, I definitely feel like I've grown up a little bit since my last record, and have really built a little bit more confidence in myself as a songwriter and as sort of a presence in the music scene, and wanted to be a bit bolder with this album, and bolder in quotation marks, meaning maybe a little bit more produced, or, you know, having sort of some new sounds introduced on this album and a little bit more of an edgy approach to some of the songs. So that was really exciting for me, and scary, for sure. But really, really, it was a really amazing experience to do this one.
Well, you come a long way, my dear, if you don't mind my saying so. And you know, it's fun to watch. It's fun to watch your artistic development happen from album to album. And this is
right.
Certainly a new plateau. Why don't we get right into a track? Because there's lots of ground for me to cover. I'd like to cover lots of questions.
Sure.
I'd like to go over with you. Why don't you speak to what I think is the title track here? It's been a nice love song, Oh My Love.
Oh My Love, yeah, that is, yeah, it's the title track. Well, the title track of the song is Can You Hear Me, which is actually a lyric in
Yes.
Oh My Love, or like a line of that song. But yeah, this is a collaboration as well with the Small Glories, actually. I'm sure that you've probably heard of those guys. They're amazing. J.D. Edwards and Kara Luft. We were paired up as a songwriting trio as part of the Canadian Song Conference. That happened in the actual first Canadian Song Conference in Charlottetown that Music PEI hosted 4 years ago, I believe it was now. And yeah, we got together, and this was a song that Kara had already had a start on, and she had a bit of a chorus done and a verse, and we worked together on it. And it's interesting. I feel like it's one of those real universal songs, because they ended up recording it on their EP that they put out, their first small EP. Yeah, and it was a very different version of it. And then I decided I was going to record it. And I think that whenever you can have different artists recording songs in different ways, it speaks to the songwriting in a way that, you know, that it's a little bit more of a universal song. And I do feel like this one can be interpreted in many different ways, depending on where you're at in your life. You know, the way that I interpret it and what it means to me is, you know, that feeling of sort of longing to settle down and to stop moving and traveling and searching for that thing that's probably right back at home where you started, and the sort of pain and the longing that comes along with that journey, for sure. So yeah, we had a lot of fun with this one in the studio, and, you know, really rocked it up with the drums, which was definitely a new foray for me, the world of percussion. And it's definitely been one that I sing in almost every show, and people seem to really respond to it, and they sing along right away, which is always a good sign.
Here's Oh My Love. That's "Oh My Love, Everyone." That comes from "Can You Hear Me?" And that, as Ashley was just saying, "Oh My Love" is a lyric within. Sorry, it's the other way around here. "Can You Hear Me?" is a lyric within "Oh My Love." There you go.
All right, everyone. That was our interview with Ashley Condon. And next up is an interview we did with Newfoundland singer of traditional songs and broadcaster and folklorist Anita Best, who was here during our Christmas show to co-host the show with me, along with our special guests, Naming the Twins from Nova Scotia. And joining me now from on the road somewhere in Massachusetts, I think she's just pulled off the road. Well, she's currently on tour of America's East Coast, and I'd like to introduce you to Anita Best.
Anita Best, what a treat to be talking to you again, because it's been, well, we've talked a few times, but it's been a good while since we've talked about a new project of yours, and this is pretty exciting. So tell us about the new album.
Well, it's an album that myself and Sandy Morris put together. We've been playing since 1969, can you imagine, doing live gigs together, but we never, ever put out a CD. And we thought, why not do this now, even if it's an archival project? And so we did. But people seem to like the selections that we put on this album, so and I'm really happy that we did do it.
Got some great selections on there. Just before we get into the selections, though, Anita, because if you can, I'd love for you to walk us through the selections. But why Sandy Morris? Tell us about Sandy, because you know what I think, if I may just offer this. I think he's a huge unsung hero in many parts of the country.
Yeah, he's probably the best-known sideman in East Coast music industry.
Yeah.
You know, Sandy just, he's made a living from playing music since he was, you know, all his whole life. And we're the same age, and we met when we were teenagers. And we had our first gig together at a friend's wedding in 1969. We sang In My Life, I sang In My Life by the Beatles, and Sandy played it. We were both big Beatles fans. Time and and off and on over the next while, you know, as I was pursuing a kind of musical career with Figgy Duff and with Pamela Morgan and so forth, Sandy always made a living playing with various different bands. He's played with many, many bands. I couldn't even begin to tell you, but almost every musician in Newfoundland has played with Sandy at some time or another.
You know what, just I know I'd like to do this anyway. I realize it's a bit of a diversion, but I've talked to Sandy on a number of occasions about doing a whole profile on him. And one of the tricks is is pulling music from the many, many, many bands, as you say, that he's recorded from. So I guess we've just not worked out a playlist yet. It's a real challenge. I had to do that a bit too with Kelly Russell. But Kelly and I did manage to pull that together. But I've long admired Sandy Morris for years and years and years. For probably a quarter of a century, I've admired what he does. And one of these days, I'm going to do it. But I did want you to mention Sandy because he's such a brilliant artist. And so he's the man who makes all the instruments happen, I believe, on this album. Is that correct?
Well, he plays the guitar on it, and we were lucky enough to have some friends who joined us on it as well, Jason Whalen and Billy Sutton, who were also, you know, the engineers on the album, and they're both incredible musicians. But Sandy played with Figgy Duff, you know, like Sandy and I've known each other for as long as, you know, we've been on the go. And he was involved with the Wonderful Grand Band, which, you know, and it featured Ron Hines, as you know. He was also a member of Figgy Duff for a short period of time, as was I. So, you know, we've been crossing musical paths for years and years. And people don't realize, but he's so versatile. He plays jazz guitar. He plays country and western. He was with a group called the 8-Track Favorites.
Indeed.
And they played only country music, you know, and country and western music.
With Larry Foley. I first came across Sandy when he was with Ron, and I saw him at the Ship in with Ron back in, I don't know, 1997, 98, somewhere back there.
I know. He was always Ron's favorite guitar player.
Right. Yeah, well, it's this is going to be fun to do this. I'm going to switch tracks just for a second here now, and talk about we mentioned Ron Hunt, so actually I'm not switching tracks. I'd like to begin with a track from this album that you recorded, and it was written by Ron and Connie, and it appears on the original track that you did. It appears on Project 1111, Ron, Newfoundland Women Sing the Songs of Ron and Connie Hynes, something like that. And it was really, really lovely version. So would you just set that up for us, and we'll start with that?
Sure. Well, I Never Met a Liar I Didn't Like. Is that the one you're referring to?
Yes.
I Never Met a Liar I Didn't Like was initially a woman from Western Canada had recorded it as well. I can't remember her name now. Her first name was Joan. Oh. But anyway, the first time I'd ever heard the album, apart from Ron singing it himself, was a recording of this woman, Joan, singing it. And I thought it was, of course, it's a woman's song, and I just loved it. I thought it was a great song. Now, the 1111 project, Ron told me, he said, I have a song that I've written for you for this project, and it was called I'm Only Lonely Sometimes. But in the end, I said, I really want to do Liar. So he capitulated, and I did Liar, and I'm Only Lonely Sometimes was done by Shirley Montague. But I love both of those songs. In fact, you know, it's hard to find a Ron Hynes song that you don't like, especially the ones that he and Connie wrote together, which I think she was a terrific inspiration to him as a songwriter.
She was so, and she did brilliant work for Ron as a songwriting. But Anita, she was also a terrific artist. I mean, she was a wonderful painter.
Oh, fabulous visual artist, yeah. And, you know, an all-round incredible woman, really.
Yeah.
And she still is, of course.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. I just lost my thought there. But that was a seminal album, I thought. And I know Ron wanted to get the rights to it back and re-release it. But I guess, sadly, that didn't happen. But speaking about Shirley Montague, I must say that you and Shirley are two of my favorite women in Newfoundland and Labrador. Oh, my goodness, there's another talented lady as well.
Well, what a fabulous songwriter she is, you know. And coming from Northwest River in Labrador and having spent so many years playing with another incredible guitar player, Gordon Quinton, and yet another incredible guitar player, Neil Bishop, you know, she's certainly well versed in picking great guitar players. I figure that might be a talent that I have too. I love guitar players.
Yeah, indeed.
And I surround myself with really good ones.
And
I don't play an instrument at all.
And for years, she was the brilliant actor behind the Trails, Tales, and Tunes Festival. She was the originator, the artistic director. And I have to say, she wrote a song in tribute to her grandmother that inspired me a whole lot. So she's a very, very good songwriter. But okay, we'll play, because there's so many good tracks here. We'll spin Never Met a Liar, and we'll come right back.
To the corner when the moon is full. Tell me that you've never seen any moon as beautiful as me. Never seen the stars shine so bright. I'm the one that you've been watching all night. Walk me out to where the lights are dim. Give me something to remember, to forget about him. Do anything, darling, I won't fight. I never met a liar that I didn't like. Dance me across the dance floor one more time, darling. Tell me everything that's going on in your mind. Every little thing you never could say to any other love you never could sway. Oh, whisper to me, I'm your heart's delight. I'm your heart's desire while the moon's on. Take me in your arms and hold me tight. I never met a liar that I didn't like. No, I never met a liar. before, under any moon or over any dance floor. Walk me to the door beneath the neon light. Whisper to me everything is gonna be alright. Lead me up the long stairway to the door at the end of the long dark hallway. Don't be afraid, don't be ashamed. Ask anything, darling, but don't ask my name. Turn up the radio, turn down the light. I never met a liar that I didn't like. No, I never met a liar that I couldn't fall for, under any moon or over any dance floor.
You're listening to Ron Moore's Sounds Atlantic, and I'm Jim Payne. Enjoy the finest in acoustic roots music brought to you by artists from Newfoundland and Labrador and all of Atlantic Canada.
All right, everyone, that's Never Met a Liar. It's from Anita Best's brand new album, and I'm talking with her on the road. Where are you?
We are at the moment in Randolph, Massachusetts.
That was part of a conversation I had with Anita Best, who also joined me last week, as I said earlier, when we spun some of our favorite Christmas songs and visited with the Nova Scotia trio naming the Twins. And by the way, Robbie, if you're listening, I do hope you've escaped from the hospital. Sorry to hear that you were spending time there over the holidays. Hope you're back on tour with the lovely Kathleen Glauser. Now, next up is an interview we did with Prince Edward Island's Lenny Gallant. He was here to showcase his new CD titled Time Travel. And as I speak, Lenny is getting ready to head west to tour this brand new project, and he is going to join us now to talk about his project and more.
Good morning, Lenny. Ron Morris, how are you?
Hey, Ron, I'm pretty good.
Good. Excellent. It's been a while since we talked. It's we talked about Abbott White last time we talked.
Yeah.
And what have you been up to since?
Oh, what have I been up to? Oh, pretty busy. Been in, we did four seasons of Abiquit, and then we took it on tour around Eastern Canada. And that was really successful. This spring, I went into the studio with Daniel Ledwell here on the outskirts of Dartmouth and recorded a brand new album with 13 brand new songs. And pretty excited about it, pretty happy with the way it's been going and how the album turned out. And so right now on just about taking off on a Western Canadian tour to promote the album.
All right, where are you going to be going?
All over Alberta and in parts of British Columbia as well.
Right, excellent. And will you be touring this album our way, sent through Central Canada?
Yes, definitely. I think we're right now making plans to be out that way. I think it's February, March. I think mostly March, I think.
Right. Excellent. All right. You'll have to keep us posted, and we'll let the folks know when you're coming to a spot near us.
Definitely.
Yeah. Daniel Ledwell's become a producer of choice.
He's got a great set of ears, and I like working with him. We seem to be very much in sync with each other when we're making this record. And it's nice when you're working with someone who is thinking the way you're thinking. And usually when you make an album, if you have someone you're working with as a producer, you're butting heads at some point. But I don't think we ever butted heads at all. which was nice, and the results turned out fabulous.
Lenny, how would you compare him with other producers you've worked with, and you certainly worked with your share?
Well, it's always a little funny. I mean, when I work with producers, but you know, in reality, probably most of my albums are really co-production. But because I'm never able to just give the reins to someone and say go for it. You know, the arrangements are very much. I'm deeply involved in the arrangements of stuff, and people usually add to what I come up with in the original arrangement. I've been fortunate. I mean, honestly, I haven't really butted heads very hard with anyone. Most of the time, I get along pretty good because I choose people I work with pretty carefully, and I'm pretty good friends with them in advance. You know, I think time is sometimes the biggest problem. You know, when you're fighting the clock all the time in a studio situation. The thing I like with working with Daniel is that we just said, okay, we'll just say it's going to be X number of dollars per song, and we'll not look at the clock. And I love that attitude because then
just
working at the song until the song feels ready.
Lenny, you seem to be, this is a bit of a philosophical turn here. I'm intrigued by your attention to time. Well, the album is time travel, and there's a fascinating theme of time that runs through a number of the songs here. I mean, there are songs that are love songs, songs about relationships, and songs about the impact of time in our lives, and I'm not sure that we spend a lot of time realizing just how important time is in our lives. It's nothing. It's one of those rare things we can't do anything about.
So it seems. And again, as when we were recording this album, I mentioned how Daniel and I seem so much in sync when we're working on it. But we also seem to be very in sync with events that were happening in the world. Every time we'd be working on a song, I'm a bit of a news hound, and I'm online a lot with events that are happening, and it seemed that so often we'd be working on a particular song, and subject matter pertaining to that song would be flying around the internet. And for example, I wrote a song called "We Want Contact," and mentioning this golden record we sent into space years ago, and I hadn't heard anything about that for ages. And the day we were recording it, all of a sudden there was a whole resurgence of stuff about that particular record and about Stephen Hawking saying, do we really want to contact aliens if they're out there, and so on and so forth. It was so funny how every time we would start to record a new song, there seemed to be a blast of things that were happening about it in the world, that particular subject. A lot of coincidences seemed to happen while we were making the album, referring to time and space. And for instance, on the song Selkie, I was talking to Daniel about how I had once played with this wonderful group of string players who lean more on the Celtic side of things from Vancouver called the Fretless, and I had a chance to jam with them after a late night festival once, and we had an amazing time, and we had said at that point, God, we have to do something, and that was about 4 years previous, and I was saying, it would be amazing to have them playing on this song. I wonder what they're up to, where they are, and checked on their tour schedule, found out that they were actually in Nova Scotia with the next day off, and so they came to the studio and played on two songs and did an amazing job.
Interesting. That's a nice set of coincidences. Let's go back to We Want Contact, and we can maybe start off with that track and do Selkie as well. Explore that a bit for us, a little more. Contact with whom, and how? Give us some more insight into this particular lyric here.
I don't know how deep I can go into that topic. It's basically built around the idea that, we seem to be more and more, I think the more we seem to be messing up this planet, that we're looking for contact from other civilizations. I think maybe there's an undercurrent of hope that maybe they might have some answers for us and might be able to help us put a little bit of change in our course on this one. I've always been kind of intrigued by this golden record we sent up there, and when was it, in the 80s, I think, into space with sort of a, a Reader's Digest version of who we are and what we do on this planet, in the hope that someone will find it. But it's also interesting, you know, listen to what Stephen Hawking has to say about all that, where he says, are we really sure we want to be contacting aliens from other planets at this point in time? You know, they might come down here and say, oh, you guys aren't doing a very good job.
Yeah. What a coincidence that would be. Here, let's take a listen to We Want Contact. We'll come right back.
We sent an RSVP to the stars. We sent a record up there in a jar. This is more or less who we are. We want contact. We are from a small, blue, and pretty place on this planet with a human race. We're working the kinks out in any case. We want contact. And if you do come around, I hope we won't let you down. We want contact. Can you teach us how to turn the page? Give us hope and give us aid. Will you come as friend or to invade? We want contact. Can you save the ocean and the bees? Show us how to share and disagree. Raise us up from on our knees. We want contact. And if you do come around, I hope we won't let you down. We never had a friend, we could use a friend. Are you out there listening now? You won't let us down. Is there a master plan we need to understand? Are you out there listening now? We won't come back. We sent an RSVP to the stars. We sent a record out there in a jar. This is more or less who we are. We want contact.
G'day, g'day, everybody. This is April Virch. I want to thank you for joining my friend Ron Moores and listening to Sounds Atlantic. Stay tuned for the finest roots and acoustic music from Atlantic Canada.
Search around my way. Tune the fiddles up. Let's hear the guitars play.
That's We Want Contact, everyone. It's from Lenny Gallant's brand new album, Time Travel.
Well, that was a snippet of an interview we did with Lenny Gallant, and he was here to showcase his new project, Time Travel. Now, Jimmy Rankin and the Rankin family are known the nation over as an iconic band from Cape Breton, Nova Scotia, now working as a solo artist and recently back home in Nova Scotia from Nashville, where he has lived for the past 7 or 8 years or so. Jimmy has been touring his new album, Moving East, a celebration of moving back home, and he took a bit of time out from his schedule. He was out west at the time I spoke to him on tour with Moving East, and here we are in conversation. So the name Jimmy Rankin is synonymous with the Rankin family from Mabu, Cape Breton, Nova Scotia. It's a charming town nestled along the western shore of the Cape. Having joined the family band as a teenager, he soon had a string of hits he wrote for the band, including the now iconic Mull River Shuffle, which we just heard. That's a Cape Breton anthem for all ages, played at gigs from weddings to dances to closing numbers at pubs right across Atlantic Canada. Well, soon after joining the band, he was writing and co-singing songs like North Country, You Feel the Same Way Too, and Moving On. As a solo writer, he's topped many a chart, beginning in 2001 with Song Dog, and followed her around, Here in My Heart, and Cool Car. And during this time, he amassed a mantle of trophies, including 5 Junos, 7 Canadian Country Music Awards, and an astonishing 27 East Coast Music Awards, which, boy, that has to be some kind of a record, I'm sure. Having entertained audiences around the world, he's written with some of the best songwriters in Nashville and elsewhere. But like his fellow caper J.P. Cormier, the call from home grew louder and louder and louder until he finally succumbed and left Nashville for his beloved Nova Scotia. Well, back home, he's teamed up with the music phenom Joel Plaskett, an award-winning artist with a raft of credentials in the pop-rock world, but keenly grounded in the musical roots of his father, who was a folk artist. They set out to strip away the stereotypes about maritime music, he says, and searched for a place of authenticity and true local flavor in Joel Plaskett. Now, Jimmy felt he'd found the right anchor. Together, says Jimmy, we assembled the most amazing cast of local players, including Wizards Ashley McIsaac and J.P. Cormier, and recorded live off the floor, rough, raw, and real. And in the end, what they produced is an album full of classic Cape Breton storytelling, unashamedly celebrating his move back home and making the music he loves. Now that is a homecoming. And here to talk with me about this and more from somewhere in the Northwest Territories, where he's touring this album, is Jimmy Rankin.
So, Jimmy, welcome. Welcome home. How does it feel to be living back in Atlantic Canada after Nashville for 6-7 years? I'm not sure how long you were there.
Good, man. Really good. I'm actually right on the road now. I'm in Calgary. I'm on a tour across the country. So I started out in Ontario and worked my way across the West, went up to the Northwest Territories and did a bunch of shows up there and places I've never been before. And I'm now in Calgary. And,
cool.
I'm going to do some dates in the West here and go up to BC as well and then back and finish up the tour on the East Coast. So I moved back to Canada this year. And yeah, it's good to be home. This is my roots. I've always maintained a place in Cape Breton. So, but I'm back in Halifax, where I lived for decades before I moved to Nashville. So,
Halifax is the hub, I guess.
Well, it's home. You know, I lived there before I moved away for over 20 years, so I'm very familiar with the place. And yeah, it's a good city. I like Halifax.
You know, Jimmy, you remind me. This album reminds me in particular of J.P. Cormier's journey from Nashville, if you wish, Alabama, Nashville, and home. He had that Back to the Cape album that came out when he celebrated his return home, as you are celebrating your return home with Moving East. And this is a really neat reflection of your musical roots. Let's talk about some of the tracks and walk our way through it. All of the compositions here are yours, I guess, maybe one we'll start off with a joint effort with Patricia Conroy, Loving You Never Gets Old.
Yeah, I wrote that with Patricia some years back. But the CD, the recording in general, it's a celebration of moving back east and going back to the music that inspired me and acoustic music and fiddle music. And I had this idea for a long time, even while I was living in Nashville. I wanted to make this kind of sort of folky East Coast record, which had the themes of, story songs and
for a long time I wanted to do this, and I was sort of mentally putting the song list together and going back into my back catalog and songs that I've been working on for a long time, and then songs that I just wrote for this record. So I connected with Joel Plaskett. I was really trying to think of somebody who would be a good fit to make this record, a producer who could, you know, understand the East Coast sound, and also, you know, have a, somebody who's got a good pop sensibility. And I thought of Joel, and fortunately Joel has his own studio. So Joel was a perfect fit for this record. And he's got his own studio, and his Joel's dad is a folk musician, Bill Plaskett, and he's got a good, so Joel has a good background in folk and pop. So he's a perfect fit, and he's got a great studio there. And I wanted to feature all East Coast artists on it, people that I've worked with, and most of them I've never recorded with before, but people like J.P. Cormier and Hilda Chesson plays on it. She plays with Ashley McIsaac, and Ronald Hines I've played bass with. He's played bass with me before. He's a Newfoundlander. And Bill Stevenson's a Halifax piano player. And yeah, so there's a wonderful cast of musicians on the record. It's all East Coast. Even the artwork is photographs by a resident of Mabu. He's a Swiss photographer, New Yorker, incredible genius, Robert Frank. So I was able to get a couple of his photographs for the record. He's my neighbor in Mabu Mines. So, and he's done album covers for the Rolling Stones and Tom Waits and plus a thousand other great things. So, so yeah, so that track with Patricia, "Loving You Never Gets Old," I've had that song. We wrote that song some years back, and I just kept it in the song box and waiting for the right time to use it.
And well, now's the right time. Why don't we take a listen? We'll come right back.
There we were, just a couple of kids falling in love, standing on the side of the road. Horny as hell, stealing a kiss, not quite sure where it all would go. And I can't put my finger on why some things last and other things are gone. But I still love the girl that I met so many years ago. Oh, 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 loving you never gets old. Fires and floods and hurricanes, when life's a pain, you can make me smile. The ins and outs and ups and downs, and through it all, you make it all worthwhile. And I can't put my finger on why something's last. And other things are gone, but I still love you, girl, though we met so many years ago. Oh, 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 loving you never gets old. 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 Falling in love, standing on the side of the road.
All right, everyone, that's the first track on Jimmy's new album, Loving You Never Gets Old.
So that was our chat with Jimmy Rankin. Well, that's the end of part one of this podcast, but don't go away. The second half is just a click away, and we will continue this program featuring highlights from podcasts that we began last October.